When the crowd saw the need of Jesus, nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we can see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. A man goes to his local diner every day for lunch, and he always orders the soup. One day, the man asks for a little more bread with his meal. The next day, the manager tells the waitress, "Well, just go ahead and give him 4 slices instead of 2. But again, he asks, "Could I have just a little more bread?" So the next day, the manager tells the waitress to give him 6 slices. And he asks him, "How was your meal today, sir?" And the man said, "It was very good, but I sure could use a little more bread." The next day, the manager makes sure the man has a whole loaf of bread with his soup. And when he asks how the meal was, the man replies, "Well, pretty good, but sure could use a little more bread." The manager's now obsessed with satisfying this customer. He goes to the bakery and orders a 6-foot-long loaf of bread. And when the man comes in the next day, he splits the loaf in half longways and lays both slices right there on the counter next to the man's bowl of soup. The man devours the soup and the 2 6-foot pieces of bread. And when he comes to pay for his meal, the manager, now smiling broadly, says, "Well, how was your meal today, sir?" And the man replies, "Well, pretty good, but I see you're back to only giving 2 pieces of bread." I think this man, the Israelites with Moses in the desert, and the people who chased Jesus looking for more bread, have a lot in common. And we have a lot in common with them, for they were never satisfied. They always want more. Just like us, they were locked into their own world of self-concern. No matter how much they had, it would never be enough. Just like so many in our world today. The so-called values of our current culture teach us to be self-centered and self-absorbed. Our culture does its best to convince us it's really only just about us. Way back in 1974, Archbishop Sheen warned us that we were approaching the end of Christendom. And Christendom is an economic, political, and social worldview that's inspired by Christian principles. Sadly, I think we've seen his prediction come true. We have watched Christendom die an ugly death. The Archbishop back then also warned us to look for the symptoms. He mentioned the breakup of the family, divorce, abortion, cohabitation, immorality, and general dishonesty. And that was in 1974. Unfortunately, today, it's even worse. Today we have a new definition of marriage, and self-defined gender is now part of the picture. And with political gridlock, name-calling, and the violence in our streets, illegal and prescription drug addictions ruining so many lives, depression and suicides surging. But as we live day by day, I think we may not immediately notice the decline of our Christian virtues. We get used to things. We tend to accept things as the new normal. Archbishop Sheen pointed out, even back then, that the press that we read, the television and the movies we watch, were no way inspired by Christian principles. Most of us tend to go down to meet the world where it is, not to lift the world up. We're afraid of standing out or maybe being unpopular. Or maybe we just don't realize what's not there. And now in 2021, it seems that our country and our world has pushed Christianity with its principles and moral virtues right into the grave. And it's not just dead. It seems like it's buried deeply. Today, the current is indeed against us as Christians. So many around us seem to just go with the flow of the world. But we must remember that it's the dead bodies that float downstream. Those who are alive with the love of Christ always resist the current. It seems as just as the Lord tested the Israelites in the desert with Moses, he's testing us today. But brothers and sisters, we must know that all is not lost. Christian principles may no longer seem to direct our economic, political, and social worldviews, but we must remember we are and will always be a resurrection people. You remember last week, the crowd that Jesus fed with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Some of them were still following Jesus in today's gospel. And Jesus knows what they were looking for, simply more to eat to fill their bellies. But he cautions them not to seek and work only for food that perishes, but to work for food that nourishes the soul. So maybe we need to ask ourselves today, what kind of food do you and I work for? And the truth is, we do work for food that perishes, because we need to eat and we need to put food on the table for our families. And certainly Jesus would have no objection with that. But he's asking us if we work even half as hard for the food that is everlasting. So this week, ask yourself, how honestly do you live what you profess to believe? Do you consider God's word, God's will, and the choices and decisions that you make in everyday life? Do you allow your relationship with God to be a real priority? Or do you tend to grumble like the people in our Exodus story and the man in the diner, always asking for more of whatever you might desire at that moment? In our gospel today, Jesus offers us food so much greater than the manna in the desert. He offers us bread from heaven. Bread that will give us eternal life, bread that will strengthen us so that we can swim against the current and bring Christian principles back to life in our world. And in just a few minutes, each one of us will be invited to receive the most holy Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, bread that comes down from heaven, bread that gives life to our world, truly the bread of life and the cup of salvation. And brothers and sisters, what more could we ask for? You know, the great St. Augustine will often end Mass by saying to his people, be what you eat. And as we receive the bread of life today, may we be that loving and caring presence of Christ, motivated by a joyful gratitude for what we already have. And may we not attend so much to our own hungers, but to the hungers of those who suffer with empty stomachs, aching hearts, and lonely spirits, crying out for help in our world. And may we leave here as a walking tabernacle, taking Christ into a world that so desperately needs his love and his presence. May we be what we eat.